Okay. Tonight I'll ask you to turn to Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4. And I'm going to read you 9 verses, but the key verse is verse 7. All right, the Word of God. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and pay attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, good teaching, sound teaching. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, that is wisdom, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all your getting, in other words, whatever else you get in life, in all your getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. All right, so let me start with a question or two. Is there a law in the law of Moses against talking too much? Maybe there ought to be, but there isn't. Is there a law that tells you how many hours a day a person should work? How about a law that tells you how much you have to read? Is there a law about giving money to homeless people? What laws did God give about courtship, dating, finding, the girl that's right for me? What laws do I go by? Do the Ten Commandments cover those kind of things? All right, how about a promotion at work, right? If a position opens up or a change of job or a move. Sometimes people want this clear thou shalt or thou shalt not from heaven, but you don't get that, right? It doesn't come. Other things, how to go about evangelism. Is there a commandment about being organized? How about being thrifty, right? Does the law command you to be thrifty? And when does thrifty become miserly? Right? How do you know? Okay. So all those questions, and there's, 1,000 more, what do they have in common? They don't fall into the realm of law. Okay. The law, most of the time, is very black and white, isn't it? Okay. This is sin. This is obedience. What did Jesus Christ come into the world for? He came to make atonement for our sins, right? So sin is always the big topic, right? It's always the big thing. I would put it to you, though, that sin is only a part of the equation, right? Justification from sin is only one aspect of your life or my life. There's this whole other wide world that does not clearly fall into the realm of these clean-cut categories of keeping commandments or breaking commandments, okay? And so this is what's known as wisdom. So we just finished Amos, right? And in Amos, we focused on God's accusations against the people for their sins, right? Oppressing the poor, serving idols, withholding wages from their workers, corrupting justice in the courts, all these things, right? They're all clear violations of God's law. And, a person might get the impression that avoiding clear violations of law, theft and idolatry and lying and extortion, sticking to the Ten Commandments is all that's really necessary for a godly life. Okay, well, common sense ought to tell us there is more to life, to a well-lived life, than just mere adherence to laws. Okay, if God didn't have any further concern for our living than how we keep his commandments, he could have stopped writing the Bible after Deuteronomy, right? Or maybe throw in a few prophets to, kind of remind us about the law. Look, you're breaking the law. You got to repent, right? He did not stop there, did did he? Right? God gave us a big portion of Scripture known as the wisdom books. And I would say this, that if you're not spending some healthy chunk of time in the wisdom books, then your life is lacking some of the very best help from above that you can obtain. Obviously, it's critical to know the gospel, right? The gospel is the entry point into a relationship with God. But in that relationship, we find that a large portion of the riches that God offers us come in the form of guidance for our daily living, right? Because we're always living with this constant question, what do you think I should do, right? For example, grandmom is getting old, and I don't feel like I can take care of her at home anymore, but I don't want to put her in a nursing home because I'm kind of afraid of them. What do you think I should do, right? There's a girl at school who keeps making eyes at me, and I think, you know, it's pretty clear she wants me to ask her out, but I don't really like her, you know. It's her friend I like, and I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, so what do you think I should do? My parents split up. They both tell me that they love me. I believe them as far as it goes, but I find it hard to respect them now, and I don't know, you know, as far as their rules and so on. Most of the time, I just want to be alone. What do you think I should do? Okay. After being on my own for 5 years, I'd like to get married again, but, you know, her children, my children, they were raised differently regarding church. We can't agree on where to live. We can't agree on what to do about church. What do you think we should do? That kind of thing. Right, all these questions. I have a job opportunity, right, in another state, but my daughter has 1 year left of high school. Should we move? Should we stay? Should I pass the job up? What do you think I should do? I have a friend at work he's really in a tight spot financially. He has asked me to borrow $1,000. And he's even said, it might be a while before I can pay you back. I'm willing to do it, but I'm afraid it could spoil our friendship. You know, should I make some kind of an agreement with him? What do you think I should do? Okay. All of those kinds of situations, where's sin in that, right? Where's transgression? It's kind of not part of the issue, right? If you just said, boil it down for me, give me a clear, you know, what's right and what's wrong, you can't. It doesn't boil down to that, okay? There's no quick answers, but I need an answer, right? I need to know, what should I do? Okay, I need help, I need guidance. So it's situations like that, and like I said, 1,000 others. These are the kinds of things that are really life's biggest challenges. And sometimes, you know, there is some relevant commandment, like honor your father and mother, but, okay, unpack that for me in this situation. What do I do when my parents treat me unfairly in this situation? What do I do when my father only shows up once a year, twice a year, that kind of thing? How do I honor my father, okay? And if it's not you yourself, certainly somebody you know and somebody you care about is going to be in a situation like this, and they're going to come to you and say, what do you think I should do? Okay, so it's not just, you know, for your own knowledge. You need to train yourself in wisdom so that you can be able to help a friend or a child who's having some kind of a situation. Okay, remember how Paul said in Ephesians, I pray that God, the Father of glory, would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Okay, Paul knows how important it is for the people in the church to have wisdom. Okay, just like it says here, Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. Whatever else you get in life, get this. Okay, get wisdom. You can't substitute for it, right? Even the law does not substitute for it. And you can't fake your way through life without it and somehow come out the other end smelling like roses. It just isn't going to happen. So you have to make a decision. And the decision to prize wisdom and pursue wisdom is itself a choice about wisdom, right? It's a wise choice, right? To say, I am going to seek wisdom, that's a wise thing. The Bible says fools despise wisdom and instruction. Okay, fools despise wisdom and instruction. So let's talk about wisdom generally for a minute. Wisdom is different from knowledge. There's a little joke that says knowledge tells you that a tomato is a fruit. Yes, tomato is a fruit. Wisdom tells you don't put it in a fruit salad. You get the difference? Okay, it's a thing I know, right? Wisdom is more than knowledge, right? Wisdom is more than memorization of facts. Wisdom is more than talent, okay? Many people are very talented, but they're still foolish. Okay, so wisdom is generated by a long time of reflection. It's the seasoned product of human experience. Some people have said it could be described as skill in living or skill in choosing. I kind of like that, you know, that choosing. What do you think I should do? I have these options open to me. Which one? Some synonyms of wisdom, or siblings maybe, prudence, perception, discernment. We talk about discernment, good judgment, cleverness, shrewdness, tact, insight, discretion. And then if wisdom is skill in choosing, then maybe the word counsel, we talk about counselors, right? Counsel might be described as helping others become skillful in choosing, right? To give advice. To be a counselor means to offer guidance, right? Not just some advice, but wise advice, right? Help somebody else apply the principles of wisdom in their choices. A person comes to you and says, what should I do? You're in the role of counselor. How do you gain it? By far, the least painful way to gain wisdom is by listening carefully to the lessons of others who have lived before us. Okay, by listening carefully. So a father sits down with his son and says, son, let me give you some advice. I think if you listen to my advice and take my advice, you will be much happier for it, right? And this actually is one of the priceless qualities of a family-based society, a family-based culture. It's the benefit of the younger generation reaping the rewards of the hard-learned lessons of life from the veterans of life who love them, okay? I take my son, my grandson, my nephew, okay, on my lap, and I say, now, son, listen to my advice. Take my advice, son, right? Somebody that I love and I care about, and I want to see them prosper. And I think that with the disintegration of the family in America, something extremely precious is being lost, right? This passed down wisdom, you know, hard-earned wisdom from the battles of life is just being sort of cast aside and held in contempt by a generation of young people who are just too much in a hurry to get what they want, to sit still and listen. Hey, listen to I have been 17 before. I can tell you what, you know, and I've had friends that are 17, right? There is another way to gain wisdom. It's not as easy. You know, there's a little kind of a back and forth. You know, what does a man need in life? He needs good judgment. How do you get good judgment? By experience. How do you get experience? By poor judgment. Okay? Part of life is learning in the school of hard knocks. And everybody makes mistakes, everybody makes blunders and does stupid things, and you have to learn some things the hard way. But God has given us this enormous shortcut. He is our Father, right? He helps us as a father helps his son, shows his love for us by giving this wonderful gift in the scriptures, the collected wisdom of the sages. Okay, so the wisdom books are like a head start on life. It's like a big answer key to life. You know, it's like getting a look at the answers to the test, you know, tips and tricks from the old man, you know, from the father. How to choose wisely, right? How to live successfully. If you ignore this advice, every generation then has to start over at square one. And the only other way is to learn the hard way, to learn by trial and error, really, by making your mistakes. And okay, because they don't respect what the elders teach them. Okay, well, life is a pretty harsh teacher, right? It's a good teacher, but it's a harsh teacher, right? Everybody suffers. The person suffers and everybody around them. But it seems to me this is how the current generation is. You know, do something now. Act now. We have to act now. Everything's a crisis. Everything's an emergency. We need somebody to do something now. You know, we'll think about it later. We'll plan, you know, we'll think about what could the possible consequences of this be. No, we don't think about that. Just do something now. And so that's how politicians make their pitch, right? I'm going to do something about it. And they say, okay, you do something. And, you know, you find out later the hard way that there are consequences because the thing wasn't planned out properly or thought through. Okay, so I'll say it again. The wisdom books are a very important part of the Bible. They're a very precious gift from a father, right? A heavenly father. He takes us on his knee and he says, son, I have some advice for you. Okay, look, if you're a parent, you know the difference between, okay, there are rules in the house, right? There's law, and then there's advice, right? There's wisdom, and the two things are different. All right, so three main books of the Bible that are, when I say wisdom books, I'm referring to Job, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes. Of course, they're not the only place in the Bible that you can find wisdom. There are some in the prophets, like some passages in the prophets that could be called wisdom. Psalms have plenty to say. You know, Psalms are mostly things like praise, prayer, but there are some that are sort of reflection on life and the advice of a father toward a son. Sermon on the Mount is full of wisdom. So think, what do you know from the Sermon on the Mount? All of that stuff about don't worry. Okay, there's no law about worry, is there? It's not against the law to worry. Like, and people ask me, I get this a lot, is it wrong for me to worry? Well, I don't think worry falls into the realm of law, into the realm of sin. Don't cast your pearls before swine, right? It's from the Sermon on the Mount. It's more sage advice, right, than it is a moral command, a moral imperative. You see what I mean? Plenty of wisdom in Paul, right, in the New Testament letters. And I've been thinking, I guess because Kyle and I have had a few conversations about it, this long chapter of 1 Corinthians 7 about marriage. Okay, it kind of ends with a punchline, you know, he who marries does well, but he who doesn't marry does even better. And so he's like, well, so then I guess I shouldn't get married, right? Because you want to do as, it says you do better. Okay, do well, do better. Well, who doesn't want to do better? So wait a minute, you know, it's not in the form of a commandment. Paul expressly says in that chapter, I'm not saying this as a commandment. He goes to some length to say this is different for different people. You have to know yourself. You know, it's a long chapter, okay? An individual person in their individual circumstances with a large dose of self-evaluation, reflection, prayer, how much self-control do I have, right? I get advice from people who know God's word well, okay? Because there's one of the Proverbs says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains a favor from the Lord. Okay, obtains favor from the Lord. And hey, that's true. But then here you have Paul saying, well, you know, when you have a spouse, you know, spouses and families, they come with their whole set of challenges. And look, you just have to know the trade-offs, right? You have to know both the benefits and the burdens of your choices. Okay, you have to pick one or the other. You can't have the best of both. Right? And that's what everybody wants. I want the benefits of both situations and I want none of the burdens of either. Okay, so he specifically says, this is not a commandment. He says, I give you my judgment as someone who has the Spirit of God, trying to give you good counsel. But, you know, there you have it. And each person has to make their own decision. Make your decision with your eyes open, though, is what he's trying to get at. Okay, so it comes back to this verse, Proverbs 4:7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Whatever else you get this, right? You get wisdom. Like that itself is a major piece of advice. And if you don't take that piece of advice, you're really not going to get very far in life. Okay, if I don't think about how do I make good choices. All right, so the most concentrated source of wisdom, of course, is in the book of Proverbs. My opinion is Proverbs is one of the most underappreciated books of the Bible, and I think it's because of the style of writing that it is. Okay, you can't read Proverbs like you read any of the other books in the Bible. It's not a letter. It's not a little narrative episode from Jesus' life with a beginning, middle, and an end. It's not even like a psalm, okay, where, you know, there's prayer, there's some kind of thought, flow of thought. Proverbs is very like stop and go, you know, put your foot on the brake, put your foot on the brake. It's one verse at a time, literally two lines at a time. You read it, you have to think about it, you have to kind of picture how does this apply to me, how does it apply to people I know, you know, think of who do I know that this might be relevant for, who do I know that went this way, and who do I know that went this way, and how did things turn out for them in the long run. Okay, so a wise man is a people watcher. Okay, he is a long-term observer, and a person who knows how to make judgment calls. How do I weigh outcomes? He's on the lookout for, okay, I saw this person go this way, what was the outcome of his life? I saw this person do that, what was the outcome of his? So here in Proverbs, we have the fruit of, we have the output of the mind of a skilled, seasoned people watcher, King Solomon. Okay, most of them are from Solomon. And like I said, if you haven't spent a healthy chunk of time with Proverbs, then do, okay? You need to, otherwise you deprive yourself of some of the most effective help from above you can get. Let me point out an interesting verse. A couple commentators called my attention to this verse, Jeremiah 18:18. Jeremiah 18:18 hints that there are three human channels of divine revelation, or at least there were in old Israel. There's just a part of that verse that says this: the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the sage, nor the word from the prophet. Okay, so three categories, and it sounds like God imparted his mind to his people by three kinds of men. All right, the priests have charge of the law of Moses. They're there to teach. I think we saw it in Malachi some time ago, right? What's a Levite for? He's there to explain the law to people, and they serve as judges, teachers of the commandments. And then the prophets, like Amos, they have the word, right? There's some message to this people in this time appropriate for this situation, and they have a word from God, and they speak the word. But there's also sages or wise men, right? They're there to give counsel. They're there to, a king has them in his cabinet. He consults with them. Or a town, you know, you might have your elders and so on there for practical guidance. What do we do? How do they, you know, the ins and outs of life under the governance of God? What do you think we should do? Let's consult the elders, the wise men. Okay, just interesting verse there. Just almost, you know, it's just almost an aside. The law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the sage, nor the word from the prophet. Okay, it tells you that as Christians, we need more than the law in our lives, right? We need more even than a prophet to come and speak an admonition to us. If we're going to live righteously, we need wisdom. We need to pursue wisdom. In the book of Proverbs, you have the wisdom of Israel, which is going to stand head and shoulders above the wisdom of the other nations around them. Because why? Obviously because Israel knows the true and living God. Okay, the heathens have their philosophy. You know, you read Daniel, you know how the king calls his wise men in. Egypt had their wise men in Babylon and so on. And there's actually some of those that old wise men literature from other countries exists, and you can compare it to what's in the Bible. The problem is all of those so-called wise men are in the dark when it comes to knowing the actual God. Okay, they can't really tell you what gods are out there. And so, like you see in Daniel, they're scratching their head a lot of the time. You know, what does this mean? What does, they're at a loss because, false God leads to a false view of the world. A false view of the world gives you wrong objectives and false morals and poor judgment, okay? The only good judgment there can be begins with understanding the world the way it was framed by the one who framed it, right? So only wise men who know Jehovah are capable of providing a reliable source of guidance. Okay, for all these questions, what do you think I should do? Okay, if my goal in life is to, is the Buddhist nirvana or whatever it is, I'm going to give you different advice than if I know that there's a judgment day when I'm going to stand before the feet of Jesus Christ. Okay, so just to read you a little bit from the introduction to Proverbs, Proverbs 1:7. Says what I just said. The fear of the Lord, right, the fear of Jehovah, the one God, is the foundation of knowledge. It is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Okay? If you say, I don't care how the world works, I don't really want to know, if I'm just going to run headlong into whatever, today holds, all right, the Bible says that's foolish, right? Fools don't care about planning, about, thinking over the consequences of their choices. They end up suffering. They end up bringing suffering to others. I hope we're not foolish, right? We need the advice of the sages, right? We need to gather the fruit of their people watching, okay? They contemplate the outcomes of the choices that people make, and this is why we have this book, okay? So the beginning of the book tells you what its purpose is. And I'll just read you 1:1-6. It says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel. Okay, why have they been compiled? Why do we have this book? And it's in 2-6. To know wisdom and instruction. Okay, God is giving us this book as a gift so that you can know wisdom and instruction. You can perceive the words of understanding. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. To give prudence to the simple, okay? And here the word simple just means a person who is untrained, okay? Everybody starts there, right? You have to be trained in the ways of wisdom. And then it says to the young man, so maybe a step up, right? Somewhat trained. To give to the young man knowledge and discretion. And even a step up from there, even a wise man will hear and increase learning. Okay, so if you're simple, or if you're in the middle, or if you're a wise man, everybody needs more wisdom, right? Tells you this. It tells you that Proverbs is not the kind of book in the Bible that you're once and done. Okay, you read chapter 1, you end with chapter 31. What are you supposed to do? Start over, right? You need it again and again, so even the wise will hear and increase learning. Okay, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel to understand Proverbs and Enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. Who are wise men today? Like, where do you go to find a wise man? It seems like they're kind of few and far between, you know? There's people behind microphones. There's people in front of cameras. There's people that are paid to be consultants. There's university teachers. How many of them know the Lord Jehovah as the maker and the guide of the universe? Not too many. And so you have a bunch of wise fools, really. It's down to us, all right? We need to train ourselves. We need to train our next generation in wisdom, okay? And so that's what that verse said. Son, my son, my son, whatever else you get in life, get wisdom, okay? More than money, more than fame, more than power, more than charisma, more than talent, and more than even genius. Wisdom is the quality, I believe, that allows us to be the most, to bring the greatest blessing to other people around us, because it says it protects and guides the paths of our life, right? Life is about choices. You've heard Mrs. Mink say that. Life's about choices. And if it is, okay, this which way shall I go? What shall I do? Then how to make the best choices ought to become the thing that we desire most for ourselves and for our sons. Okay, I'm not going to teach the whole book. I don't think it would be very easy. The book of Proverbs is worthy of a lifetime of study. And actually, once on a Wednesday night, we did go through the first 9 chapters of Proverbs. And the first 9 chapters are more like essays, like an introduction to the subject of wisdom. I advise you to, you know, read those. They're wonderful. Every one of those first 9 chapters is great. Once you get to chapter 10, it's this very stop and go kind of, it's hard to teach verse by verse, I think. We'll see what happens. But that is where I want to start next time, chapter 10, with the actual Proverbs themselves rather than the, you know, the introductory material. So give chapter 10 a read through this week, once or twice. And just in the meantime, think about the importance of the family structure, God's ordained family structure, not just, you know, for our little nucleus of a family, but for the society, your family, a church family, in the value of that in passing along and accumulating the experiences and the wisdom of generation after generation. What is the benefit of multiple generations of a family living together, living nearby? Okay, the legacy we want to leave behind is wise children who are stable, who can meet life head on and know how to make choices, right? And that's actually the first proverb. And with this, I'll let you go. Proverbs 10:1. Okay, the first proverb says, "A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother." All right, that's true. The best thing we can do for our sons turns out to be the best thing we can do for ourselves, right? It will make us glad to leave behind wise children, all right? Training them in godly wisdom, right? My sons end up skilled in living. I end up being glad that they are that way. Okay, so once again, wisdom is the principal thing. Whatever else you get in life, get wisdom. It says, "Exalt wisdom and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory. She will deliver you." Okay, my son, hear a father's word. All right, well, we'll pray with that. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your word. I look forward to some studies in the book of Proverbs. And Lord, we do need your wisdom every day and every hour. Lord, as we, almost every step we take, every time we turn around, there is some decision to make, a person to deal with, a challenge in front of us, a fear, a doubt, just a decision to make, Lord, and we need your assistance. Living in your presence, Lord, is not just a matter of right and wrong sometimes. It's just what's wise or what's foolish, what's best for ourselves and others. So we beg you, Lord, that as we embark on a few weeks of studying Proverbs, Lord, that you will bring forth fruit in us, in our church. Help us, Lord, to be savvy and to be ready to serve you, Lord, to have all of your very best skills at our fingertips, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.